We're also doing retargeting. I think that's kind of one of the secret sauces that everyone should be using.
Hey, it's time for The Growth Show. This week, we'll be talking with our guest, Christian Ziegler, about how he and his team grew from 0 to 3,000 customers in just a few months. How do you even handle that kind of growth? Learn about what they're doing today to continue to grow a phenomenally successful business and pay attention for some great tips that you can put to work in your business right away. All that and so much more coming up right now on The Growth Show.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when, you know, when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father. Not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, it's time for The Growth Show, episode number 4. I think we should just skip the brew of the day today, guys. What do you think?
As long as we can drink it, we can skip talking about it.
I mean, I did get beans this week. They're beautiful, but they're still green. I haven't roasted them yet.
But so you didn't have time to cook them.
Yeah, we just had too much going on this week. So anyway, no brew of the week, but David Johnson here, as usual, with Rod Thompson, PR and communications guru. It's just a habit to think
that's
of you.
Right.
I don't pigeonhole you as PR, but you know,
yeah.
That's when I need PR. That's you're the guy I call. So
feel pigeonholed.
Communications and how is
messaging guru.
Messaging guru. I like it.
Sure.
And of course, Josh Muccio, who is our. Well, we're gonna call him the kid.
The kid.
The kid.
My messaging is simple. I'm the young guy.
The tech wizard. He's the young tech wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And today we have something new. We're trying for the very first time. It's been inevitable, but it's happening. And we have a guest. Rod, who is our guest today?
Well, nice lead in there, Josh. Guest today is Christian Ziegler. Christian is the chief operating officer at Dealers United. It's a company that began in 2011 and now provides products and services to more than 6,500 dealerships located nationwide. Now, Christian is the first employee of Dealers United and has overseen the day-to-day operations, the marketing efforts, the sales management, other roles that were all part of the creation and growth of the company. So Christian is a perfect sort of first guest for our audience of small businessmen looking to grow their business. He's going to have a lot of great insights for us.
And women, wouldn't you say, Christian?
Yeah.
We've got
business folk.
Business people. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Christian.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, we're really excited to have you, Christian. Glad you could make it this morning.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
And thanks for being our guinea pig. Yeah, absolutely. So I heard say, like, the company is what, not even 4 years old?
Yeah.
And like this is 6,500 dealerships?
I was going to, like, I thought at first about maybe leading up to this, but I think there's no reason not to just launch into it because this is what everybody listening will want to know. Christian, how did you take, and if you want to give 30 seconds and, you know, explanation of what Dealers United is, that'd be terrific. But then go in and start walking us through the phenomenal growth. I believe you told me last night you had something like 3,000 dealerships in the first number of months is all. How did you guys grow this thing so rapidly? What tools did you use? What methods? Because some of the things you mentioned last night, I think, were just absolutely brilliant. So give us a little bit on Dealers United and then how you got to growing it like you did.
Yeah. So, first, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm excited to talk about this. I mean, I think you guys have an awesome show. I listened to the past couple episodes are great, very valuable for everyone.
So you got the check we mailed? Is that
exactly? But Dealers United, it's an awesome concept. We have two co-founders, Jesse Biter and Matt Buchanan, and Jesse is from the vendor side of the automotive industry. He started a company called HomeNet, grew that from 0 to 140 employees, and then sold it to AutoTrader a couple years back, who's one of the biggest vendors in the industry. And then Matt Buchanan is actually the operating partner of Sarasota Ford here in town, right down the road from our office. But so we kind of have that dealer and vendor mix, which is perfect for our model. And basically what we're doing is there's all these big dealer groups out there. You've probably heard of them, like the Auto Nations of the world. They have 260 stores. Well, these guys can go and they operate it, you know, so efficiently, and they're able to negotiate pricing so low that, you know, when you compare them to a mom and pop dealership or a single point franchise, they just blow them out of the water. So the idea really behind Dealers United all started because Matt Buchanan, his family had about 23 car dealerships. His father, Vern Buchanan, who's a congressman here in town, actually started selling off the dealerships, got down to 3 stores. Matt went to renegotiate his pricing, and then the vendor said, Matt, we love you, but you know, you don't have 23 stores anymore. You're going to get the 3-store price. And then, you know, Matt kind of had the idea of, okay, let's group together dealers and let's negotiate. So that's kind of what we've done. And Jesse stepped in at that point and said, you know, okay, let's not just group together a couple dealers. Let's actually go out and group together all the dealers. So Dealers United is really a marketplace where we go out and we find all the products and services that dealers are using. We negotiate the pricing, and then we, you know, negotiate that down. We also provide a lot of content, which I've heard you guys talk about in the past, which is very, very important. So we're like a mix. We're like an Amazon.com for B2B, but we're also like a Consumer Reports, because we're going out there and finding what are the best products and services that are out there for dealers. So that's kind of the gist of the company. But as Rod touched on, you know, how did we grow, right? So we started in fall of 2011, and we started building out the website, building out all the content, building out the messaging, the ads. And we really launched in middle of October in 2011. And then, you know, we started going out to the trade publications and all that. And there's one very reputable trade publication, which is called Automotive News, almost like the Wall Street Journal for the automotive industry. And we were placed on the front page, and the phone just started, you know, ringing like crazy. And we grew from 0 dealers to about 3,000 by February of that year. So
one thing, if I can break him just for a real quick second, we've discussed this before, and particularly the kid here was a little bit shocked to find out that print had any value whatsoever anymore.
No. It's the direct marketing versus mass media marketing. Now that is a classic example of really good direct marketing.
Exactly. That was, and when you get it in the right niche publication like that, the right target audience, and then front page of automotive, that is tremendous coverage. And so obviously you see what happened there was by getting that sort of publicity for Dealers United, that was a terrific launch for them.
And I'm sure most of those 3,000 customers said, hey, that's how I found you. It was on your trade publication. I mean, you could tie exactly the action to the customer coming in.
So yeah, there was a good portion. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there obviously are other publications, and we've been in those. And I'm a digital guy as well with digital marketing and all that. So a lot of times I tend to ignore print. But if you do get in the most reputable one, it really does help. The niche ones and all that stuff that we've been in, I can't say that those brought a lot of value. But when you get on the front page of the most reputable one that all the owners are reading, that's where it really brings a lot of value.
So I just have a capacity question. I mean, what did you do to be ready to handle 0 to 3,000 in a short period of time?
That's a good question.
Well, it's funny because when we launched the company, you know, we had a messaging that our message was that we're going to group together all these dealers. We're going to go find the products and services for you. And we really grew before we had product. So we had all these members go on our website, and it's free to sign up and become a member. And we had about 3,000 dealers sign up. And that was before we even launched a quote unquote deal, which was actually March of 2012 is when we launched it. So for 6 months, people were actually just signing up for the concept and signing up for the promise that we made. Now, with that said, it was a tough couple months where those phones were ringing. I mean, it's a great problem to have, but we quickly needed to figure out how to scale and bring on other employees because at the time it was just me.
So that was market validation. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, that showed that there was a demand there, right?
Not only that, but it also probably was a big component of you making your first deal, right? I mean, if you're still just a few dealers strong and you're trying to negotiate something, it's a little different scenario than if you have 3,000 and you're saying, hey, let's
Well, I'm curious, how did you get on the front page? Are there any tips for someone who's, you know, wanting to get, you know, a big publication like that? How in the world did you get on the front page?
You know, if I remember correctly, I mean, Jesse's obviously, you know, selling his company to Auto Trader helped. Because he's probably one of the more reputable or more well-known people in the industry. But, you know, we just developed the relationship with the staff at Automotive News, and we had a good rapport with everyone there. We pitched the story, and really it kind of, with marketing, I think it's so important that you have a story to tell and you include your audience or your customers or your businesses or whoever you're trying to do business with and communicate with. You have to tell a story and get them involved. So I think we did a good job from the beginning, and there was some good movement right before Automotive News. And then we just kind of put the afterburners on right when we got on the cover of Automotive News. So I think putting together the story, putting together the full package, pitching that, and really getting their buy-in helped, you know, for us to get on the front page.
So Christian, after that, you get an initial wave that you would get from a front page story like that. You can also continue to leverage that coverage for a period of time digitally. But then after that, you were able to still, in just a couple of years, double those numbers. And you were talking last night a little bit about wow marketing and word of mouth and that sort of thing. And I was wondering if you could explain how that's worked for you.
Yeah, well, in the dealership world, it's interesting. They have 20 groups, and I don't know how many people really actually know what a 20 group is. Have you guys ever heard of that before?
I had a client that ran 20 groups in the boating industry. So he kind of acquainted me with the concept. But I'm sure a lot of people have no idea what you what
yeah.
You're,
go ahead
what you're
and
about.
Give a quick
like a mastermind
explanation
group?
There.
Yeah. So basically, what they do is they take 20 dealers that are basically Ford dealers. They sell the same amount of cars, but they're in different areas, so they're not competing, so they can share their secrets with each other. And each one of those dealers, they send in their financials, and they break down the financials. There's a quote-unquote 20-group host that I think David was referencing, his friend. But that 20-group host looks at the financials, and they'll match number one up with number 20 in different areas, and then number two with 19. And basically, they'll sit together, and they'll say, okay, what are you doing that I'm not doing correctly? And you learn from the other dealers, your other peers. So really the entire dealer world is built on referrals. Just as, you know, when you look at any business, I mean, customers, that's a huge portion of your business is referrals, reputation. But in the dealer world, it's on fire like that. But so what we did was we really realized that we had a good number of dealers and we started focusing on delivering an unbelievable experience once we get customers in the door. So, you know, we did stuff like no contracts, which was rare in the automotive industry back in the day for the products and services dealers are using. So they sign up for a website. You know, they might have a 12 or 24 month contract, which is crazy. One of the requirements to do business. You're seeing more and more no contracts or contracts.
Yeah. And people saying it's producing outstanding results because people they love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important because it's, you know, if you have to earn someone's business every single day, every single month, every single year, it keeps you on your toes and it forces you to be innovative. I mean, I think, you know, contracts a lot of times it's good for the business because, you know, the revenue is going to come in. But, you know, for the client or the customer, it's so much better to have no contracts because you are going to innovate and you're going to adjust your product. So.
So tremendous. So talk to us about the obviously the you know, marketing through your customer experience, growing through word of mouth. I think you'd said that you feel like dealers and businesses in general often don't put enough effort into that end.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, all these businesses, they all focus on bringing in new customers. And dealers are the same way. You know, they just want to sell new cars. But there's so much business potential when you have customers in the door. It's a lot easier to keep current customers and have them repeat buy from you than it is to go find new ones. So I think that there's a big, the ball's being dropped by a lot of companies out there where they're not focusing on that. They're not cultivating their current business. So, you know, Dealers United, we've realized that. And what we do is every single one of our customers, they become VIPs. We focus on just, again, like I said, no contracts. If they call us, they email us, you know, they chat with us on the website, they're going to get a response within 5-10 minutes, even on weekends. I mean, I check my phone in the middle of the night a lot of times and I'll see them email in. I'll write right back. So they know, you know, they develop that trust with you that they have a great team behind the product that they're paying for. So that's really helped us grow because then they go back to those 20 groups and they say, you know, here's a recommendation that I have. Here's what I'm using for my business that works. And then we'll get 19 other dealers that have signed up from that 20 group.
So part of the way that you are handling your customer experience there is in responsiveness. You guys are willing to respond 24/7 basically, because I guess dealerships are open through the weekends and all too. Yeah. And so you're willing to respond whenever they need a response basically.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's, you know, now with smartphones and computers and all that, I mean, you can write in a question and it could be on the weekend, right? And you have a question or you're on your website and you're trying to figure out why something's not working or is broken and you want an answer. Well, they email us. They're going to at least get an answer that's going to say, hey, we see this. We're on this Monday morning at the very least. But sometimes we'll just handle it for them that weekend if we can, you know, address it. But everyone in the company, you know, once an inquiry comes in, everyone in the company sees it and it's just the first to respond. It's like a race.
That's crazy. So it's like a shared inbox.
Yeah, basically. And it's really helped us because we look at our customers once they buy once, a lot of our, most of our customers end up buying, you know, a second time, a third time, a fourth time. So it's a lot easier to grow your business that way, I think, when you look at your current customers than it is just to focus on bringing new customers.
Any enhancements, you think, to growing word of mouth? Is there anything you do to almost encourage people to share the message about what you do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've done some somewhat funny marketing where we did this get out button, which is kind of like the, you guys know, the staple easy button.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we position ourselves. We want to be between the dealer and the vendor that's providing the products and services. So we want to be like an Amazon where, you know, when they go buy something, they're going to buy it through us. They're not going to buy it direct. And when they buy direct, they have to have the contracts. They pay full pricing and all that. So we created actually a get out button that when you click it, it says, get out of my office. And we sent that to every dealer that signed up. And it's so funny because our messaging was, you know, be wary of snake oil salesmen, vendors out there. When they come into your office, you know, let them know you're partnering with Dealers United and just hit this button.
Oh,
and I
great.
Can't tell
that's
you how
terrific.
Many vendors. Yeah. So
did you make actual buttons?
We actually made buttons. And everyone that signed up got one.
That's
and
beautiful.
After a couple months of sending them out, I mean, I was getting so many vendors that were just so frustrated because they're, you know, going in the door to these dealerships and they're getting that button.
So yeah, the vendor's getting after you, huh?
So that was kind of like a viral campaign. And then we started getting other dealers calling us like, hey, can we get a button? And I'm like, well, you can get a button if you're a member. And then we are getting membership, you know, growing that way as well.
So your viral marketing became an actual marketplace desired product.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
It was probably the best $4 we've ever spent, you know, and, to get them developed. So
what about digitally? I mean, okay, so I get the viral, the viral marketing campaign. Are there any like automation tools or other digital components? You mentioned you're a digital guy. What are you doing to sort of support the, or facilitate the word of mouth process?
Yeah. So we use HubSpot actually, which I think you guys are pretty familiar with.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. But HubSpot, I mean, it's just an awesome platform because you're able to gather so much data on each one of your users. So each one of our members were able to see, you know, what they're interested in, you know, what they're not interested in. And then we're able to automatically, you know, follow up with them and deliver the information they need. So, you know, we're also positioning ourselves. It's not just products and services. It's also content. And as they say, you know, content's king. Obviously, everyone says that right now, but we're positioning ourselves as a consumer reports for automotive dealers. So when they're looking to get LED lighting or they're looking to get a new website or they're looking to get, you know, a new CRM system, well, they can come to Dealers United and we'll give them the information they need to become better informed on that buying decision. And then, oh, by the way, if you want to buy it, here's, you know, the offerings we have.
So I have a quick question about content. Yep. Obviously, you have a blog.
Yep.
What else do you do in terms of content? Like one of the questions that I have for you deals with the idea that some of your content is going to be generally available to the public. It's a blog, it's wide out in the open, it's free.
Yep.
And some of your content is either behind some sort of opt-in. So people have to either opt-in to get the content or it's a paywall situation or they have to be a member. So how do you sort of draw the line between the content that you give away and the content that you require someone to give up some information in order to get?
So the majority of our content we just give out, right? It's just out there. It's helping our SEO. It's driving in a lot of new customers. It's helping us build membership. And it's really just helping, you know, the dealers become better informed. And I think it's, what was it? Field of Dreams. They said, you know, if you build it, they will come. And I think that's really huge with content is, you know, if you have a platform and you become the expert, people want to buy from an expert. And sometimes they'll even pay, you know, a premium to know they're buying from an expert. So the majority of our content, probably 90% of it, is completely out in the open. The login that we have for our members is more for tools like leaving reviews, because we want to make sure that dealers are leaving reviews, not the companies or the individuals that are providing those products. So we have a couple other tools where they can, dealers can ask each other questions, and that's all behind the login. The pricing's also behind the login. So the content's really kind of front facing. It's open out to the public, but the other individual tools that they need for that buying decision is behind the login.
So I'm curious, you mentioned SEO, and we've got some opinions obviously on this show on where SEO is going. Do you do anything else with SEO, or is content marketing kind of your replacement for SEO?
It's really our replacement. We do, minor SEO. You have to make sure, I heard you guys talk about Google Webmaster, and you got to make sure everything's obviously working correctly. You have all your tags, all the, using the correct words and all that. But once we kind of set it for the SEO for Dealers United, at least we set it and forget it. And then we move over to the content. And we're using email marketing heavily. So we're, drafting that content, which is going to boost your SEO organically. And then we're driving traffic through the email marketing, because when you sign up to be a member, you have to give your email. So we're not really focused, on SEO for our own website. Now, with our dealers, we do offer SEO services and we help them out. But even the SEO services we provide includes all the content marketing and the unique content that they're putting on their website. So we partner with a great company out in California. I think they're called W Promote, and they provide that content as well.
So let's talk about your email content. You're doing a lot of email marketing. Part A of the question would be, where do you rank email as opposed to social in terms of getting a response? And secondly, with the email stuff, are you just using content that you're providing on the web, or are you doing specific content specifically for your email?
No, we're basically driving to the content that we put on the web. I mean, we post it, and then we're using the email to alert our members. The unique stuff that we do in the email is more product focused. When we're pitching products and, we're having facts and figures about the product, we'll put that in the email that may not be on the web, because it's so focused on an individual product. But email marketing versus social, I don't think you can really compare the two. I mean, I think email is still the most dominant form of marketing there is. If you can get someone's email address, obviously a phone number is great, but you can only call someone so many times. but with email, you can email them once a week and you're not going to annoy them because they're getting so much email. And with social, that's just, for us, we use that as a brand recognition, brand reminder, driving them to our website, just getting our brand in front of them so they don't forget about us. But the email is a primary form of communication that we're doing.
So Christian, you also had some ideas on the segmenting of your audience and tailoring your message for those various buckets. Do you want to discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that's key. And I think that's the next wave that every company needs to focus on, is you really need to break down your audience, your customers, and their roles, right? So you need to know what's important to them, what's their lifestyles. And then I would suggest that you build pages, which is only going to help your SEO as well, and your organic, results in Google. But you build pages based on those individuals. So I heard you guys talk about, I think you had a florist client in the past, that,
right.
Mm-hmm. Is selling flowers to various items. Well, I would have a page for weddings, have a page for birthdays, have a page for Valentine's Day, all of that that has content and suggestions. And then, when someone types in, obviously, Valentine's Day, flowers, you're going to come up at the top. But for us, I mean, we're doing it based on roles inside of a dealership. So when we get a dealership that signs up, we'll have the owners, the general manager, the general sales manager, the internet director, the service director. So we have those each individual roles, and we bucket those, and then we send personalized messages to each one of them, because it's so important that you recognize that these individuals, they have a specific role that they're focused on every single day. And if you can tap into that and let them know and basically say, you guys have an important role, it's so important that we're focused on your individual role and we want to provide a resource, engagement's going to go through the roof.
It seems like that is really key in this day and age when so much can be automated, so much is mass delivered, that there's a lot of personalization that's lost. I mean, I just love getting emails that are, you know, mass emails that say, "Dear Rodney," because nobody calls me Rodney. Nobody. And you know, they've obviously taken that off some list. It's not relevant to me. It's delete, delete, delete. And you know, even in my, in a lot of that I do, when I'm, you know, trying to get PR for companies and personalizing it for each publication, that personalization just completely sets it apart from the mass, you know, PR that will go out. I think that that's true across platforms, across industries, that whenever there's the opportunity to personalize something and make it a real personalization, there's tremendous value in that.
So I have a quick question that relates to this. So when you segment within the dealership, is based on your business model, is that because various members of a dealership's team might be decision makers for various products that you are either selling or promoting?
Yeah, exactly. So the service manager is only going to care about, you know, products or services that are going to help the service drive, right? That's going to help, you know, with all the service that they're doing, the oil changes, you know, writing the ROs, the repair orders. And they're not really going to care about selling cars. Whereas the general sales manager or the general manager is going to care about getting more leads, getting more individuals into the store and helping to sell more cars. So they each have their individual role that they're focused on. But they also have the products that are supporting them that they're staying in tune with that they either have and they want to replace or that they know about and they want to get eventually. So that's really why we segment. And those, every one of those individuals in a company, they are, they're not maybe decision makers, but they're influencers to where if they see something, they think it's going to help their individual role. They meet every single week with their team, with their general manager, who's the ultimate decision maker or the owner. A lot of times, and they will say, "Hey, this product's going to help us in our role sell more cars, or it's going to help us service more vehicles." And then that person can make the decision to buy or not. But you really got to get in front of those influencers.
So you're talking about 6,500 dealerships, but potentially each one of those dealerships might have 3, 4, 5 or more customers for you. Is that
exactly, or influencers, right?
Right. Sure.
So yeah, you'll have. We really target the owners. The general managers, both of those really have decision-making power. And then you have the general sales manager focused on the sales side. You have the internet director that's focused on the website, driving more leads, the SEO, all the tools and widgets they have on their website. And then you have the service manager. So there's really kind of 5 roles that we focus on. And then even within a dealership, there's all these other roles that have signed up as members, or they might be a salesman or they might be a billing contact. But they may not be the influencer with the products that we deliver.
So when someone sets up an account for the first time, is there a process where you collect the different members of the organization and their emails and phone numbers? Or do you try to, how do you collect those over time so that you can actually influence the influencers?
Yeah, well, it all comes down to a personal relationship. So really they sign up online and they'll submit their store information. And if we already have their store, we'll just take that user and we'll attach them to the store. But if we don't, then we'll create a new record and we'll have a store with that individual in it with their title. And then they get an account rep that is actually personally touching them, you know, a couple times a month, having conversations with them. and during that process, we'll ask them, you know, "Oh, who's your service manager? Who's your internet manager?" And we'll build out our directory that way. So we're not automatically adding anyone. I mean, they have to, you know, opt in. They have to want to get our information because at the end of the day, we don't want a big pile of employees. We want a good list of engaged users.
So you're doing a lot of digital stuff to facilitate signups and maybe create or start the relationships, but then it becomes a pretty high touch, personal, engaged relationship that you guys. So you're sort of like digital. You're online, offline in terms of how you manage the process. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, everyone that signs up gets a dealer advocate is what we call them. And they're really kind of a product advisor. So when you sign up, you get one of our guys assigned to your account. And we're really solution selling. We're saying, "Okay, Mr. Dealer, you know, where do you need help? Okay, Mr. Internet Manager, you know, what do you love on your website that you're using?" And then that comes to the product team. So we know what to go get. For our other members, or what do you hate? And then we know what to replace in their dealership and what to go get to help them replace it. So every single day, our guys are reaching out to them, they're calling them, they're emailing them, they're getting that personal touch, as well as the 50,000 foot you know, marketing effort that's coming down through the emails and the social and the website and everything else. So.
So I think that's important because a lot of, I think businesses tend to think, especially smaller teams where they don't have a marketing department, they tend to think about digital marketing or even content marketing as kind of a magic bullet. Like I just turn this on and everything's going to work from here on out. And in reality, you create a lot of response, you create a lot of work, you know, for people. And then, but from what we're hearing you say, driving the customer experience requires some high touch efforts. And so really, when businesses think about turning on some efforts that are going to get a high response, they need to really be prepared to ramp up capacity-wise. Mm-hmm. And how did that happen inside your organization? I mean, I realize 3,000 dealers, you make your first deal, you may not be creating a lot of interactions as of yet with your 3,000 members. How did you guys sort of manage the process of scaling up internally when you needed to be able to facilitate all the relational stuff?
I mean, that was probably one of the biggest challenges we had, right? Is anytime you start getting people involved, it becomes a lot more difficult than just fixing a widget or setting up some online tool or digital marketing. So, you know, right when we launched, I mean, we started hiring dealer advocates where they were assigned about 300 accounts, 350 accounts each. And since then, we've shrank that number. But, you know, for every 300 that would sign up, we would hire a new individual to manage those accounts. And we still do that to this day. I mean, it's a little lower than 300. But I mean, that was the challenge, is how do you scale when you get all this interaction? And our first couple deals were very, very successful. So now we not only had members that need to be reached out to, but we had customers that need to be taken care of. So, you know, it was a lot of 20-hour days, work days for all of our employees. And, you know, I can't thank the guys that were with us at the beginning enough, because it was very challenging.
So what's the future for Dealers United? Where do you guys go from here? I mean, do you keep doing what you're doing, or do you have new branches? Do you have new concepts? I mean, we're not looking for you to give away anything to potential competitors, but what's the future look like for you guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we have 6,500 dealers, but there's 17,000 out there. So, you know, we're only, what is that, a little less than a half, or maybe it's a quarter.
Do you have competitors?
Not really what we're doing. I mean, I haven't seen anything else in the industry, or in other industries. I mean, the closest you can relate us to is almost like an Amazon, but what we're selling is recurring products. And we're selling software and other services that Amazon doesn't sell, right? They're selling hard goods. So, we don't have any competitors in the automotive industry. I haven't seen anyone else in any other industries do it. But I think there's a need. I mean, we've had other industries reach out to us. Hey, we love this idea. You know, would you take a look at this or take a look at that? So I think with Dealers United, I mean, our goal is to really cultivate the dealers that we currently have. And then, you know, we're about to turn on our marketing again and start bringing in a lot more dealers now that we're ready to scale.
And do you have any different marketing strategies, or are you going to go with what's worked?
Yeah. What do you mean turn on the marketing
that
engine?
That caught my eye too.
Well, actually, when we got up to about 6,500 dealers, we stopped, you know, running ads and print publications, and we really stopped heavily online marketing. We took a little bit of a break, and we're still kind of in that break right now. But, you know, we have all our processes built. We have our team ready. I'm interviewing two other guys later today that we're most likely going to bring on board. So our team's growing and we're getting ready. And then we're going to go back out there and go heavily on digital and heavily on print to get more dealers in. And, you know, print for us is important, because we have a lot of these old time dealers, you know, that are somewhat older. They're reading newspapers, they're reading that print. So that plays a vital role. So you'll start seeing us in all the publications again.
What other digital marketing efforts are you guys making? We talk a little bit about channels on this show, and I think it's interesting because a lot of people want to know, you know, is pay-per-click right for my business? What is this remarketing thing people keep talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you guys have? Do you do either of those?
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of PPC. I mean, that's important when, you know, we're selling numerous products and services. You want to make sure that you're appearing when they're in the search or in the market for that product or service. We're also doing retargeting, which is huge. I think that's kind of one of the secret sauces that everyone should be using. If someone's coming to your website and they're interested, you have a very likely, you can close them if they're reminded of your product and services at the purchase point. So we do a lot of retargeting, a lot of remarketing. We do a lot of Facebook as well. I mean, Facebook today is so unbelievable how you can target people. You know, you can target them down to the brand that they're purchasing, down to the car that they're in market for or that they own. So we do a lot of Facebook retargeting. And then kind of one of the secret sauces as well is the Facebook audience ads. That's something every business should be doing. Very easy to set up. But you load your list and then you're able to target to specific people on Facebook, which is huge.
So do you do that primarily by importing email addresses, or do you build custom audiences out of website visitors, or is it like a mix?
It's a mix. So, you know, we'll have our current members in there. So we want to, you know, reinforce the brand and make sure it's in front of their eyes. We'll go out and get new customers, and we can find, you know, you can target people based on, do they work at a dealership? So we do that. And then, you know, we also go out there and we just hit people in the industry and, you know, publications and all that, so they can see that we're out there, we're aggressive, we're, you know, in front of them. And then that will lead to print stories, right?
Do you do anything with LinkedIn advertising?
A little bit. I mean, not really advertising. I mean, the only advertising I do on LinkedIn is to get employees, actually, and it works pretty well. So we do a lot of job posting there. But with LinkedIn, we engage with the groups a lot, right? There's a lot of groups on there where they're automotive specific, and there's owners and there's general managers, and we can go in there. And that's almost like a content strategy where they're asking questions, they're asking for recommendations, and we're able to engage with them directly on LinkedIn and provide that resource. And again, if you become the expert, people want to buy from the expert. So that's what we're doing there.
So I'm assuming you go to other different forums in the industry.
Correct.
As well, and interact there.
Yeah, we're at trade shows and all that stuff. I mean, we still have a small team, and we only have about 12 employees. We're probably bringing on another two later today. But yeah, we go to all those trade shows and all that stuff as well.
How important do you think segmenting is for remarketing efforts and Facebook audience campaigns?
Oh, it's key. I mean, you want these ads. It's just like Facebook when you're scanning down your profile, right, on your phone. You skip over a lot of stuff that is not relevant for you. Like, for example, when I was a young 20-year-old, I would skip over baby photos. Well, now that I'm 31 and I have a child and I have a, you know, young daughter who's 16 months old, if I see a baby photo, I stop. So the more you can segment based on people's lifestyle and what they're interested in and their interests and their behavior, the better it is, because you're going to easily connect. You're going to connect with them at a lot better rate. And then they're going to read your content, and then they're going to come to you and they're going to relate to you. And everyone wants to buy from someone that they relate to as well.
Right. Exactly. All right, Christian. So we're going to wrap up. We don't want to hold you too long. This has been hugely helpful. I think we've all learned quite a bit here. So I'm positive that our listeners have. But before we let you go, how can people get a hold of you? How can they get a hold of Dealers United if they're interested, if they come across us and they have a dealership or they want to contact you in some way? What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you can just email me at Christian, Christian, at dealersunited.com. Or they can call me at, our number is 941-366-6760.
That's pretty great. I saw something earlier this week that I thought was pretty hilarious. It was a tweet, actually, from a HubSpot team member who his tweet said, "The best time to call me is email."
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
I got a kick out of that. That was pretty hilarious.
Hey, one quick question. We do normally do a tool of the week for this show. Do you have a tool specifically? You mentioned HubSpot. Is there another tool of the week that you think, you know, has been integral to your success that you'd recommend to small businesses?
A tool of the week. Okay. So this is somewhat archaic because it's been around for a while, but I would recommend everyone Google Apps. And the reason why I say that is we live in that in our company. So when you go use Google Docs, for example, like with Word and Excel, you can collaborate with other people in your businesses. So if you're working on an Excel sheet, instead of filling it out and then emailing it to someone, then they fill it out and you don't see the changes, you can actually track all the changes. You know, 20 people can be inside a document editing it at the same time. We use that all day, every day. And I'm amazed that a lot of small businesses do not know that Google Docs exists or don't know how to use it. So I would recommend everyone, if you're not using Google Docs in a small business, I would go check it out and use it.
Hey, so do you also host your email there on the Gmail platform?
We do. We host all of our email there. We do a ton of email, but we do host all of our email for our business there. And I use it on the political side. I use it everywhere, and I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I mean, $5 a month per user. It's like sickeningly inexpensive, and
it's unbelievable. And you can get your domain, obviously, right? So we have, you know, Christian at Dealers United, but that's all inside Google. It's very easy to use, and it's a lot better than anything else out there. But then the docs are just so important for our company, at least. But I know every business would benefit.
I mean, I use it with a lot of different clients too. Whether it's the it's calendar or whether it's the Excel or, you know, any number of things in Google Docs.
I would have never thought to recommend it because it's almost assumed.
Right.
We all use it.
Yeah, exactly.
But what Christian's pointing
out
that's
a great recommendation.
Yeah. And you know what? What's still funny to me is something like 50% of small businesses in the United States still don't have a website. So, you know, for those of us that live and breathe tech all the time, it's like it's easy to forget what people don't know. So, Christian, thank you for the tool of the week. Thank you for a very enlightening interview. I think we've got some great material, and I think it's going to probably open up some questions from our audience. So if you're listening today and you want to know, what does he mean by remarketing on Facebook, custom audiences, importing? We want to know what questions you have about that or anything else that we may have discussed today. And so I want to invite you to visit thegrowthshow.com/004. That's today's show, landing page for today's show. So you can ask your questions there, comment. Talk about what was interesting to you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you there. You can also find us on social platforms, and we are excited to announce the show is now available via Stitcher. So if you are a Stitcher user for podcasting, something like 4 million dashboards in the United States are 4 million individuals plus are using Stitcher. So it's a very, very powerful podcasting platform, and you can find virtually any show on any subject that you might want to find available there, including The Growth Show. So excited about that.
And please make all questions out to Rodney.
Yeah, if you exactly. really want to get Rod's
attention.
If you want
it deleted immediately, yes.
That's good stuff. And Joshua, right?
Yeah, no thanks.
So, good stuff. So, anything else we need to hit before we wrap up?
Good to go.
Hey, this was great. Once again, Christian, thank you so much for being our first guest.
Yeah,
really great job
thanks
today.
Lot,
we appreciate
Christian.
It.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, guys. And I wish you much luck with the show. I think it's much needed, and I look forward to all the businesses benefiting from it.
Fantastic. All right, well, we will look forward to bumping into you again. And for all of you listening, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.